are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, the power of prayer is definitely seen in its fruit, in its result, but also even in the very journey thereof, where as you pray, you feel a weight as of the world lifted from your shoulders. But that's mostly when you pray for yourself. That's mostly when you commune to God as with a friend, talking about issues between the two of you. But had you ever known the power that is there in intercessory prayer? Intercessory prayer is prayer before God on behalf of others. While there is no one specific way to do this intercessory prayer, there are certain tools that can help us get along the way, right? And in today's study, Nomfundisi Chifamba, we will learn how to make the most and actually get involved and actually never pray a selfish prayer, but always get involved in intercession. Mfundisi Chifamba joins us on the line. Pastor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Not doing okay, Pastor, and yourself?
I'm doing okay as well.
Marvelous stuff. Trusting that the Zim heat is doing good to you there?
We are adapting. together for the good. As the heat monster, this one begins to wonder, how will it help you?
Hey, Mfundisi, don't get started with that one.
Let me run to Jesus Christ himself.
It's not been fair at all. Yeah, we need some relief indeed. And we thought it was just going to be lasting for a week last week, but it looks like it's pulling second week, and we are burning like no man's business here.
But hey, let's leave it to God. He Amen. Is the God of the rain, God of the heat. He knows
indeed,
what he's doing.
Indeed, certainly. And like, I love how you interpreted it there to say, hey, if hell is going to be any worse than this, let me run to Jesus. Let me not be found on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Pastor, thank you so much again for joining us as we study about prayer. And today our conversation, talking intercession. Well, what is the point of intercessory prayer, Mfundisi? Does it somehow have more power? I mean, the person is already praying for themselves. Why do they need more people praying for them?
I think before I dive into that one, let me just highlight something that is very, very, very nice that I found in the Bible. Was researching about prayer, I discovered that intercessory prayer, Paul notices that it's important. And that because it's important, he says in the church of Thessalonica, hey, brethren, pray for us. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, he says, pray for us. And one good example is the example of Peter. I think here and there we'll be making reference of that example. Peter is in prison. Acts chapter 12, the church is praying for Peter. But let's go to the question. Does it somehow have more power more than when I'm praying for myself?
Yeah.
I will say not as per se. Prayer is prayer. When I pray, God tends to listen. Mm-hmm. But the golden line in it, it fosters a sense of unity.
Mm.
When praying for me, I know we're a united front. Come on, Psalm chapter 133, how good and how pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity.
Yeah.
When you are praying for me, when I am praying for you, it means I have compassion, or I'm empathizing or sympathizing with what you are going through.
Mm.
So we are a united front. I cannot pray for somebody whom I'm not affected by his situation. Picture it now, if all of us as a nation are to sympathize with each other and pray for each other, we'll be a united nation. And when we are divided, we don't go far. But when we are united, we go far. Look at the Tower of Babel. We were in one accord, one purpose, and they were united. Look at what they were doing. They were building a tower from earth to heaven, and God went like, no. These people are now doing their own kind of redemption. So if we are united doing the correct thing, I believe God's spirit will be there within us. God's spirit will just be showcasing itself amongst us. And again, in addition to that, Galatians 6 verse 2 comes into play. Paul says, hey, if you are children of God, carry each other's burdens. So as I carry your burdens, as you carry my burdens, you are just proving something. We are united. Does it have more power over individual prayers? Not as per se. But this one showcases that we are indeed the children of
God.
We are
together in this. And
we care for each other. Accountable for each other's activities.
Mm-hmm.
If it's you are accountable for my sin, I'm sinning, you are praying for me to get out of this addiction. I'm taking drugs.
Yeah.
I'm taking yaope. I can't help myself. I can't even pray when I'm under the influence.
Mm.
But there you are.
Praying for me.
Sitting for this one.
Ah.
Why do you take his away for him? So in simple terms, you're saying, I want him to be saved.
And
health is deteriorating and you're praying for me. You are just showcasing that you are with me in a time of need.
And in fairness, maybe while on that point, I think that's very critical to say sometimes we don't always have strength, right? Yes, I can go it alone, but sometimes you need someone to just hold you up and say, hey, you can continue. Or if you're not feeling well to the task, someone can help you on your behalf. I wanted to speak to the stronghold that is there. I don't know, and maybe that's why we are having you as our pastor guide us in this conversation, because the question comes to my mind to say, when you look at scenarios such as the walls of Jericho, could God have torn down the wall with just, for example, the strong man Joshua alone? I think he could have, but he says no, not just the priests alone with the ram's horns, but let every Israelite come through and let them shout. And that united, does it have an effect that combined prayer somehow has a mighty power in pulling down strongholds? Another scenario that's coming to mind is in Daniel, right? He is praying and then comes the answer. I think it's chapter 8 or chapter 9 where it said, hey, Daniel, I've been sent to respond to you. In fact, from the time you prayed, the answer came immediately, but the prince of Tyrus was withstanding me for 3 weeks, 21 days, and so I was busy fighting a spiritual war coming through. Would prayer assist in making sure that those enemies of the adversary of the saints, as it is called, can have a battle when the prayer comes through? I don't know. Am I being too ritualistic in looking at prayer in that perspective?
I would not say you're being ritualistic when you're looking at that. No.
Mm-hmm.
But what we should also master is that God wants us to be united.
Yeah.
We're his children anyway. He wants us to be united.
Mm.
In the whole Jericho, when he could have, by the way, he even needed no one.
Not even Joshua.
Not even Joshua himself.
Yeah.
Remember, you're leaving Egypt to the promised land. When you are getting to the promised land, he could have just have wiped off everything and not have inherited city. I think you'd remember that war when there was hunger in Israel and the lepers go back to say, hey, there is food.
Yeah.
God didn't even need anybody.
Mm.
God did not need anyone. But what God wants us to master, God wants us to master the aspect of unity. At the same time, God wants us to master the aspect of a pushing, which is a pray until something happens.
Yeah.
So at least Daniel was praying for 21 days without an answer. God was also teaching us something. Remember, these things were not written for Daniel, they're written for us.
Oh, yes.
That sometimes you just need to be persistent in prayer. Keep praying, because this is a spiritual war. When it comes to prayer, this is war, pure war. The devil does not love people who pray. So, keep praying. Yeah. The answer is ready, but the devil is fighting. I believe, this is my belief. God, when it comes to the halls of Jericho, he wanted us to teach the aspect of being united and carrying each other's burdens. When it comes to the aspect of Daniel, God wanted us to learn and master the art of continuing in prayer. Little prayer, little power. More prayer, more power.
Mm. Amen and amen.
That's my little belief.
No, and I support, and it answers indeed. It answers. In fact, I was just thinking of that Luke 18, right? Men ought to pray and faint not, says Christ Jesus. Pastor, When you look at intercession, usually you just hear, please pray for me, Pastor, I've got this, or please pray for me, I'm going through this, or sometimes pray for my sister, and that's it. Sometimes people don't have all the details when praying for somebody. Maybe address that, Mfundisi, to say, will prayer still be effective when you don't have the specific issues at hand? I mean, I've heard even people say, some prayer requests that are not mentioned, Father, pray for, we pray for them. I don't know, does it matter? Because sometimes they say, be specific with your prayer request. No, tell him exactly what you're needing. But in this case, when you're interceding and you've got very little details, does it help?
It does help. It does help. Remember, he, in as much as we're praying to God, he's our friend.
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly what I'm going through. So when I'm coming to you saying, please pray for me, I will not give you the details, but just mention me in prayer.
Okay.
God understands. What I'm simply saying to you, I'm simply saying I am weak. In as much as I am weak, I don't also want to be judged. Humanly speaking now, when somebody's saying, pray for me, let me not go into details. There are certain things that if I come to you and tell you, hey, my brother, pray for me, I'm struggling with pornography.
Yeah.
Pastor saying to you, pray for me, I'm struggling with pornography.
Next time the pastor stands to preach, my mind is somewhere else.
That's porn star. But God knows that I'm struggling with that.
Okay.
God knows that that thing is crushing my faith. If it's crushing my faith, and I'm saying to you, please pray for me. God knows what I'm going through. Heavenly Father, there is Lincoln. God knows what he's supposed to attend to. God knows what he's supposed to attend to. So him being God, he'll then answer accordingly. We don't need to have all the details every time.
When
it comes to intercede for somebody. All that we need is to intercede for somebody.
Does it matter? And who remember, prays? Sorry for this. I was just thinking there.
It doesn't matter who pray. It doesn't matter.
But if I get prayed for by that person we were talking about yesterday who hinders prayer, whose prayer is an abomination to God, then isn't that not going to cast an aspersion on my prayer as well, or on my request?
So one of the sweetest things is that even if my prayer is an abomination to God, it won't get answered. But one writer of mine says, whenever I kneel down getting to the chambers of God, I get blessed.
Yeah.
So God would have a teaspoon of grace. It's praying for myself with my little sins, not confessing them. I don't think the prayer will be sweet. But now when I'm interceding for someone, praying using the correct formulas, I believe that person would have actually asked for forgiveness. So hence I'll say it does not matter who prays for who. Remember, everyone is sinner. We're all sinners. But when we pray, we get closer to God. And we get closer to the process of changing. So for me, it doesn't matter who prays. It doesn't matter who prays. But what matters is, have I been prayed for? And God will die. I recall when I was young, when I was young, mom used to say to us, when she has problems, she would just go like, "Bantu bami, pray for me. I'm having such problems." When I was of age now, I sat her down and I asked her,
okay,
why you make us pray as little children for such heavy requests you like know, those ones?
Surely what do my prayer make a difference on, right?
She says, when a child is praying, he or she prays wholeheartedly. When I pray in doubt. So even our little children can intercede on our behalf.
Do great things out of the mouth of babes, right?
But now, as parents now, we need to do a very simple thing. When a child has prayed and an answer has been given, tell the child that the answer has been given.
Okay.
So that his faith gets to be strengthened in Jesus. My niece normally, mommy, does Jesus really help me to cross the road? She has 5, by the way. Mm-hmm. And when my sister calls, yes. She says, today, don't take me to school. I'll go with Jesus. So I'm going to my sister, you're useless now. Jesus is useful. So the aspect of prayer, and that God answers our prayers.
Yeah.
Then we're going to go.
Can I ask a technical question, Mfundisi? And thank you for bringing this idea that anyone can pray. And I'm sure if I can ask Mfundisi, please pray for me, or my friend, pray for me, my mother, my niece, my nephew, like you're saying, they can also do the prayers. But do the numbers tip the scale? I'm just trying to think, do more people doing the activity make it better for the victory, so to speak, right? I'm just thinking, you know, is the difference in spiritual power by how many people were doing the actual prayer? Maybe a scenario from scripture, Acts chapter 12, the Bible records Herod has killed James, and then he has now gone to take on Peter to say, no, this is a good thing. The Jews are liking me for this. And then he puts him away. But the testimony is the church is interceding for Peter. And on that same night, we hear an angel coming through to deliver Peter, and the church is, you know, having an all-night prayer on the other side. Is it a direct correlation to say the church prayed, therefore, or was it just about unity?
If I'm to answer this one, humanly speaking, I will say more people praying for me, more chances of me getting answered.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying this one from a human perspective, because he's a man.
Prayer requires
faith. Prayer requires faith. So if I've got two people who are doubting, praying for me,
it might be a challenge.
Yeah. But if I've got more people praying for me, there are more chances of those with faith that there will be quite a number. And the secret of answered prayer, the key secret is faith.
Okay.
So the more, the merrier. If in a group of 1,000 are praying for me, and let's just say 10% have got faith, I know it's 100 who have got faith.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a group of 10, I know it's one who has got faith.
Mm.
But of course, again, it's also draws us back to the aspect of unity.
Yeah, it's about unity. What about the weakest link idea, Pastor? Does it make an impact? I mean, I've heard people, especially when they pray for demonic deliverance and so forth, they would testify, no, are you guys okay when we go praying in this house? Because if you're not fine, we'll be the weakest link and you'll be a challenge here. Does it matter to say, no, if there is that, like you're saying, you've got a group of 1,000 praying but 100 don't have faith, don't they like water down our faith? It was better if they were not there, because if they were not there, we're going to have 100 kilometers of faith power, if I may put it like that. But now that they are there, they have weakened our faith. Now we are at 90 kilometers an hour of faith, 90% strength. Is that how it works?
I won't say that's how it works.
Okay.
But well, from a human perspective, like I said, to humanly speaking, it looks like that. But remember, God only needs 1% faith to move the mountain.
Okay.
So even if we can go, 100 of us, to cast out a demon, and there's only one with that faith, that one person would cast the demon out. As he casts the demon out, our faith as well, us who are partaking, gets to increase.
Encouraged, yeah.
So one person with faith would dilute us. This is the sweet part about Christianity things. One person has faith, he is able to dilute everything, and it works as a sweet aroma.
It does work as a sweet aroma if you have mingled. And I guess that's the whole sense, right? When you look at this whole idea of the altar of incense in heaven, our prayers get mingled with the prayers of Christ, and ours are weak and useless, Shem. But when they get mixed with Christ and they get mixed with the Holy Spirit, who can pray for us with moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered, they become such a sweet savor before God. They don't get weak. They don't weaken God's prayers, right? They don't weaken Jesus' prayers on our behalf. No.
And how many people are on planet Earth? How many people are praying?
Hey. There will be no answered prayer if that was the case.
So, at the end of the day, what we should master, when it comes to intercessory prayer, we are simply saying, let's carry each other's burdens. The intercessory prayer, its purpose is to mobilize more Christians for what? Preparing them for the army, for the war that they're in.
Okay.
The spiritual war. Not only do we mobilize them, but it also strengthens their faith. Remember, as God answers us, we're in a position to say, yes, we did it. Like the story of the elephant in the end. Animals were passing through this nice little bridge. The bridge never shook nor what. But when the elephant moved in, the bridge started shaking. When they had crossed, the ant was like, we did it.
So did you see us shaking the bridge? Yeah. Yeah.
And the strengthening the weak. The end was weak. but the ant got strengthened by the elephant's strength.
Amen.
So it's a game of moving together. It's a game of being taught the Christ's method of dealing with human beings, which is what he used to care.
Yeah.
He used to sympathize. Yeah. He used to empathize. As we do that, we'll then be in a position of not judging. Remember, when you're praying for me, you don't judge me. And Christ says, judge not.
Mm. Mm.
So prayer fosters that in us, and it strengthens our bond above all with the Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mfundisi, let's leave it there. Thank you so much again. And we are encouraged not just to pray, but even to pray for others. Until we chat again tomorrow, God bless you.
Thank you, my brother.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.